to the situation in Libya now. Joining us is David Mack, a scholar at the Middle East Institute and former U.S. ambassador to the United Arab Emirates. His U.S. diplomatic assignments include Libya, among others. He joins us from Washington, D.C. Ambassador, good morning.
Very glad to be with you, John.
So 100 days of the first shots being fired over Tripoli, and the International Criminal Court set to decide this morning to issue a warrant for Muammar Gaddafi's arrest. I mean, if they do that, it seems as though there's a consensus in the international community that diplomacy is pretty much off the table. There's not going to be a settlement that changes the situation in Libya under any circumstances. Would you agree with that, David Mack?
Well, I don't think there's going to be a settlement with Muammar Gaddafi himself, but he's not the only person in Tripoli who's going to have a voice in this matter. There are all kinds of people on whom he depends for his survival and protection. They're his family members. There's a lot of people there in Tripoli who don't necessarily want to die to fighting to the last bullet the way Gaddafi probably does.
Well, and one of them, General Mahmoud, is a defector from Gaddafi's government. He spoke with the BBC's Andrew Harding, and he apparently is in the city of Misrata along with a number of the rebels. Listen to this.
We need more from the NATO to do the best. They did the best in the last days, but we need more. We need more and more and more.
You know Colonel Gaddafi well, but do you think he will give up?
No. As a weak man and a crazy man, 42 years, he must say, goodbye, my people, goodbye.
But you know the man.
This man, he will not do it. If we don't kill him, our bombing kill him, he will not do anything.
A sober assessment there from General Mahmoud, one of the many defectors who's left Gaddafi to his own fate there in Tripoli. I mean, that sentiment really complicates the situation for NATO. Time appears to be on Gaddafi's side, even if this situation, you know, for him seems untenable hour by hour.
I don't think I don't really agree with that assessment. NATO military actions never had as their goal the removal of Gaddafi from power. In pursuant to the UN Security Council resolution, the goal of the NATO military action is to protect the Libyan people as best it can from Gaddafi's vengeance and use of force against them. They've managed to prevent almost certain massacres in Benghazi and Misrata, the second and third largest cities in the country. There's a whole variety of other means that this international coalition are using in terms of economic sanctions, the fact that they've closed virtually all the ports that would be resupplying Tripoli is a lot more important than a few kilometers of advance along one of these roads from Benghazi or between Misrata and Tripoli. Moreover, the pipeline now that was providing oil to the only refinery available to the Tripoli regime has been cut. You can't very well run your tanks without diesel oil. Then there's this wave of defections. Who knows how many people have defected in place in Tripoli and are biding their time until they have an opportunity to either eliminate Gaddafi or to, along with members of his family, go to him and say, it's time for you to leave. And there's a plane out here, a Russian plane, that will take you off to this or that point that's outside of the ICC jurisdiction.
Well, do you see a scenario then? And again, you heard the General Mahmoud talking about how the rebels need more from NATO. Do you see a scenario where Tripoli is just isolated and the rebels stand firm in Misrata and Benghazi, and there's essentially a kind of de facto partition of Libya as we go forward?
No, I really don't. The scenario I see is an eventual uprising in Tripoli, perhaps a kind of a palace coup against Gaddafi. And I think that's going to be very likely, because there's all kinds of people who that he depends upon for his very survival and protection, who don't want to go down with him, who don't want to spend, as they did during the 80s and 90s, year after year without being able to send their children to universities outside of the country, without being able to travel outside of the country themselves, And these people will eventually take matters in their own hands. And there are ongoing discussions between the Libyans in Benghazi and people in Tripoli. There's been proximity talks brokered by the United Nations mediator in London, and these things will eventually have an effect.
How does NATO take the pressure off or the focus off of Gaddafi and put it back on protecting civilians? Because
it's a little bit hard to disentangle the two, because obviously protection of the citizens includes destruction of command control centers, ammunition depots, logistical lines of communication around Tripoli, and all that is going on. But you wouldn't want to base a military strategy just on luck.
Right.
And that's what I think is implied when people say that NATO has to move in and kill Gaddafi. That's really not that's not the mission of NATO. That's not a mission NATO would agree to. There are very important military objectives in terms of protecting the Libyan people that NATO is accomplishing.
Right, and perhaps they need to make that message a little bit clearer in the coming days. Before we go, any comment on the Congress agreeing to fund but not agreeing to support the U.S. involvement in NATO?
I really don't. That's an old question, and it goes well beyond the bounds of U.S. Of the Libyan issue.
And indeed, it's a question that this Libyan operation does no better help to define in the separation of powers battle that's been going on for generations between Congress and the White House.
John.
That's right. David Mack, diplomatic as always, a scholar at the Middle East Institute, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Arab Emirates. Thanks so much, David.
You're welcome.